Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here he is. Here's your host, J.J. Regan.
Thank you, Joe. Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Capitals Face-Off podcast. I am your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. With me today, he's the Capitals insider. He's the beast, my beauty. He's Tarik El-Bashir. Tarik?
You know, you are perpetrating the biggest fraud in the history of podcasting with this little bit you have going here. No one actually believes that I'm your sidekick. That's why it's funny. That's why I don't fry you up and I let you play your silly games. That was actually kind of funny.
That was
everyone
one.
Knows that I'm the pretty one here. What are we talking
you're
about?
You're the pretty.
Absolutely.
You're the looks of the operation.
I am the looks of the operation.
You may be too ugly for podcasting.
It's messed up.
Today, we're going to talk more prospects. On the last Mailbag podcast, you guys made it clear that you are interested in the team's prospects and what's going on down on the farm in Hershey. So today, we are going to bring in the voice of the Hershey Bears, Zach Fish.
One of my favorite people.
He will tell us everything that's going on that you could possibly want to know about what's going on in Hershey. Now, that's what we call a tease, Tarik, because you know why? Because we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to be joined by Zach. Well, with all the recent talk about the Hershey Bears, we decided to bring in someone who knows them about as good as anyone. He is the voice of the Hershey Bears. He is Zach Fish. Zach, thanks for taking some time away from your summer to come talk to us.
Hey, gentlemen. Always good to be talking about hockey in the middle of July. And I know it was good to get a taste of hockey with development camp a little bit. And while I know you guys really have had no offseason and the Capitals have been celebrating for the very little of the offseason they've had, it's been a long offseason for us, for a rare year for the Bears not making the playoffs. So we've been done since April. So while the Caps might need the break, I know us down in Hershey were chomping at the bit to get going.
Well, Zach, let's start with development camp. When I'm watching it, I'm doing it with the knowledge that I'm not going to see many of these guys for a few years. You, on the other hand, you're going to see many of these players suit up for Hershey this year. So when you're watching these things a little bit differently than I am. With that in mind, who stood out to you when you were watching? Because I know you made the trek down here for a day or two.
Yeah, I got to be down there for 3 days, and that includes the scrimmage on Saturday, which was exceptional. And I was really impressed with the group from the couple other development camps that I've been at. I thought it was a more talented group with some players who are going to step right in next season in the American Hockey League. Of course, you have your mixed-in group of free agents that are there to get a look maybe for a couple years down the road, or guys that are going to go back to college that are not pro prospects for a number of years, or the raw guys that just got drafted and have a long road ahead. But there were a lot of guys that are going to jump in and play in the second best league in the world, at least in North America, and be trying to push for an NHL spot pretty soon. And I think in the scrimmage, the two guys that stood out, which really weren't a surprise because one has already won a Stanley Cup and the other was the veteran of the development camps, were Shane Gersich. I thought he was electric. He had an unbelievable spinning assist. He looks like a guy that is going to be fighting for an NHL spot, but I do think organizationally, from what I've heard, there's a thought of, hey, he should go down and be on the top line and play some minutes in Hershey. Let's see how he does, and if he's so good that we got to bring him up, that's a good problem to have. But you look at Zach Sanford a couple years ago, they started him in the NHL and he struggled a bit and went down to Hershey and wound up being a big trade chip. I think it might be good for Gersich to get time, pending any injuries and, of course, camp. And he really stood out at development camp, which was pretty expected. And then Pino was the other one. Brian Pino, I think it was his sixth development camp. You know, so he's been there. He's done that. He was very good with the goal and assist in the scrimmage as well. But you have to mention Ilya Samsonov. The gear was there a little late. It was new gear. But I was talking to Alex Westland here the other day, the goaltending coach for the Hershey Bears, who was there helping run that camp with Scotty Murray. And they just said, you know, Samsonov's an elite talent. You can see it. It's tougher in drills. You're 3 a.m. for him when things are starting. He doesn't know English, but he definitely stood out as well.
And he's also enormous.
Yes, he's huge. And I think Alex Westland compared him to Linus Ullmark, who, of course, sure. is probably going to be a goaltender for the Buffalo Sabres this year. A little bit longer learning curve for him in Rochester, but a lot of people considered him the best goaltender in the American Hockey League for a number of years, even though Rochester was traditionally not a great team. Just a big upper body and just covers a lot of net. So that was a guy that definitely lived up to the expectations. And the other one that I like that's more of a name for Hershey's perspective, but interesting for Capitals fans, he's Finnish. There's not a lot of Finnish guys that come through the Capitals organization. His last name is Ikonen, Juuso Ikonen is all he told me that it's pronounced. A little Finn that was projected to be a third-round pick maybe in the NHL draft back in his draft year. Size didn't go because of it, and his brother's a high pick of Montreal. He's torn it up. Juuso has overseas, and they think he can come in and be a top six really good scorer, a playmaker, the American Hockey League level, and he signed him to an NHL deal. So he's another one that I really liked, that, you know, a name that fans aren't necessarily going to know or maybe even have to know, but I think he'll fit in well on the American Hockey League scene.
So, Zach, you mentioned Gersich maybe needing some seasoning down there in the A before you know, coming up to Washington. Who are some of the guys who've been around for a few years that you think might be at the point in their professional careers where they need to really make a push for a spot in September on the Capitals roster?
Yeah, the two that come to mind, Riley Barber being number one. He got a cup of coffee 2 seasons ago, it'd be now, with the Capitals. And, you know, a scoring winger that's dealt with some injuries, 20 goals in 2 of his 3 AHL seasons with 26 in his rookie year in 15-16 when the Bears went all the way to the Calder Cup Finals. He's a guy that can put the puck in the net at this level, a power play threat, real good wrist shot. And he's a guy that was cut pretty early last year, to be honest with you. And I think that left a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. I think he's going to come in very determined to have a good camp. Just signed a new deal as a restricted free agent, and he's going to be really determined to come in and make that impression. He knows there are spots available, and while maybe there are guys penciled in at this point, you know, he knows that this is an opportunity for him to jump right in. And the other one, he's developed his game down here so much. He's a completely different player from his sticking his tongue out a few years ago and making the team, and Liam O'Brien. He's a guy that is transformed into a very good hockey player with 17 goals here this year. He had 30 points the year before. He does a lot more for Hershey than he has really ever in Washington, because of course when he came up this year he fought Ryan Reeves, and you know, he was a little bit more in that role. And you know what, I know he didn't do well in that fight, but anyone who has the stone Steven take oh, one yeah. punch from that guy has immense respect in my right. book. That's what I said to tough him when he came dude. back. He is a tough customer. He's a great teammate, and he's really worked hard. He's one of the hardest working guys down here after practice.
He's a good quote
pucks.
too. I yeah. you know, from a media standpoint, we'd love to keep him around.
Yes, he's a dream, 100%. So those two guys, I think, got to push to make the roster. At the age they're getting to, I'm not saying they're running out of chances, but you know, both of them restricted free agents. They just got one-year deals done. The organization needs to know they're going to be a call-up piece. I think Nathan Walker's got a good shot of making the team, to be honest with you. I don't know if he will or not, but I think he reinvented himself as a prospect that can play in the NHL with his one game in the playoffs. I think that him coming in,
that was a hell of an assist.
It was a good game.
Yeah. Him coming in and doing what he did, which is what he does all the time in Hershey, just a little ball of hate, creates energy, gets pucks out of corners, wins battles against guys double his size, sets up guys, and is just noticeable and tough to play against. He was exactly that, and speed's the name of the game. And you know, they lost him on waivers, and then he passed through waivers the second time to come to Hershey, and it was such a weird year. I don't think he thought he was going to get called up. While the Capitals were in the first round, we had about seven guys, they were not officially called up, but seven or so guys skating here at Hershey Park Arena, just staying in shape. The Capitals wanted them to stick around a little bit and just see what happened. They win that first round series, and they elected, hey, we like our group. We have Gersich around as an extra, Boyd around as an extra already. We're just going to bring one guy up. So they picked Walker, and I think Walker was a little bit surprised just because he hadn't got another shot with the club, and they waived him, and they lost him on waivers earlier this year. So I think he thought maybe he wasn't going to get that opportunity, and then he comes up and plays, and I think that opened a lot of eyes, especially with the quickness being as big as it is. And now, obviously, a coaching change now, maybe he'll get a little bit of a bigger role.
Zach, Phoenix Copley is penciled in to be the backup behind Brayden Holtby this season. Tell us a little bit about him, what kind of goalie he is, and do you think he's going to succeed with the bump to the NHL?
Yeah, it's a well-earned promotion for Cops, and I throw out a lot of last season, and it's tough for anyone that's going to look at the stat line because that's where you're going to look. Well, how did he do last year in Hershey? The numbers aren't great. 2.91 goals against average, considering where that was, guys. That was a big improvement. He really played well from February on out to the end of the season to get those numbers to where they needed to be. Save percentage, not ideal, of 89.6, and 15-17-6 was his record. So not sparkling numbers by his standards, but when he came in to Hershey two seasons ago, now he had been here before, they traded him the Oshie deal, they bring him back, they loved him. Scotty Murray loves Phoenix Copley, raves about him, hated to lose him, but when you can get TJ Oshie, you got to get him. So they get him back at the organization, and he single-handedly got the Bears in the playoffs. And the Atlantic Division is so loaded in the AHL that the Bears had an unbelievable record and barely scraped their way into the playoffs two seasons ago, and it was because a Copley. He can steal games. He can make acrobatic saves. Prototypical butterfly goaltender that's big. He's 6'4", 200 pounds. He takes up a lot of net. He's a little bit lankier than like a Samsonov who just looks big and bulky, kind of like Tarek was talking about a little bit there. He just has a little bit different build to him, but he has the look and feel of an NHL goaltender. He hit a snag this past year, and I think a lot of it was because his body just had not completely recovered from an injury sustained in the 2017 Calder Cup playoffs. He hurt his groin. And at one point it was thought he might have to have a surgery that would have kept him out. Turns out he didn't need it, but then he tweaked it in training camp and wound up missing the first month or so of the season. And I think it just took him really until February for his body to get back to where it needed to be. He's a guy that's going to do anything it takes to make his career better, and he's done that. He's a tireless worker and has that ability that's made him go from an undrafted player out of Michigan Tech that the Capitals plucked out of nowhere from the ECHL to the AHL to the NHL now. So he's going to do everything that it takes to get to that position, but I'm excited as long as he can stay healthy in training camp. You know, there might be a speed bump here or there, but I think he's going to be able to be a comparable backup, a competent backup, and he's going to be comparable to a lot of the backups in the NHL. I don't know if he's going to be able to shoulder as much as Grubauer was taking last year, which I know the Capitals ideally would like to maybe wind down Holtby's numbers a little bit. We're seeing more of that at the NHL level, but I do think that he's going to be able to come in, and if you got three games, he's going to be able to play one of them and give you a shot to win. So I like Phoenix. I know people definitely that saw him last year might not be impressed, but I think that as long as he's healthy, which he sure looked like it at the end of the year, a good summer of camp, and that experience too of being in Washington and having these guys shoot on him day in and day out as a black ace and getting to raise the cup, you know, if that doesn't make you want to stick full time, I don't know what does. So I think he's going to be able to weather the storm, and whether it's a glue guy for just a year, we'll see. But if he doesn't, you know, he knows that there's a pretty good goaltender waiting in the wings that a lot of people have the eyes on in Samsonov. So maybe that'll push him even more too.
Zach, let's talk coaching changes. You guys had a coaching change down there. We had one up here in Washington too. What can you tell us about Spencer Carberry, and what do you think happened with Troy Mann?
Yeah, I'll start with Troy. I just talked to him today, actually. Keep in touch. He's headed out, and Troy's already become the head coach of Ottawa's minor league club, the Belleville Senators, and congratulations to him on that. A good man that was great to media and exceptional to me. And you look at Troy's body of work, and it's pretty good. One of the top coaches all time in Hershey history. I think he's sixth in wins all time and got us to a Calder Cup final just a couple seasons ago. But it was a tough year. And the Capitals, again, for fans that might not know, the Capitals, since the affiliation agreement was renewed a couple years ago, they build Hershey's roster, they hire the coaches, they have a say on everything. Hershey has a big say in it, and it works hand in hand with them, but the Caps ultimately have the final say. So it was ultimately the Capitals minor league operations folks with the final say. Troy had an option for this upcoming year that could have been exercised, but they decided to go a different direction. And you can't say it wasn't development because of the guys that have come up and played and were part of that run in the NHL. Troy had a big hand to them. But winning is expected in Hershey, and I think the Capitals organization knows that, and that's why they wanted to be affiliated with Hershey. And sometimes the hammer has to fall, and it's fallen on everybody, not just the coaches. Ryan Murphy, assistant coach, was also let go, and then the core of veterans and guys that have been here are changing. Chris Bork is now in the Islanders organization, who you just think of him and Hershey, and he's always been around.
Yeah.
You know, and he's going to be gone now. Zach Sill, who's been around the last couple of years, played 10 games in Washington a few years ago. He's no longer with the Bears. Garrett Mitchell, the longtime captain who got one game at the end of the season a couple of years ago, you know, he's departing as well. So the hammer has fallen on pretty much everybody, and the changes have been swift. So Carbs comes in, and Spencer Carberry is a great coach. I worked with him in South Carolina when I was down there for a year, and it's nice to see they're dipping into the ECHL and promoting up the ladder. But he's a guy that loves to win, intense passion, good young mind. Everybody that I've talked to in the coaching level, whether it be with the Providence Bruins in Boston's organization where he was an assistant last year, South Carolina, wherever it may be, he gets the most out of his players. I think he can push guys' buttons the right way and be a motivational factor, and that's what I really like about him. He just sees the game so well. Never a player that played in the American League. He was an ECHL champion in South Carolina, but he sees the game very well. His teams play that up-tempo, fast style of play, and they're really dictated on transition too. So I like what he brings to the table. I think he was a slam dunk hire. If he wasn't hired in Hershey, I know he had interviewed for other American League positions, so he was a hot commodity. He would have been somewhere. So he'll be very good. And then a former Capitals draft pick who spent a lot of his career in Hershey, Patrick Weller, former defenseman for the Bears, will be his assistant. I think he's going to be great with a young defenseman and really going to be key helping out here. And then still one assistant to be hired yet. So there's still some changes coming. But different coaching staff, different year, different players. Definitely going to be a weird but very different look down here in Hershey this year.
Speaking of assistants, what can you tell us about Reed Cashman?
Yeah, I think Reed's going to, you know, I know that hasn't been formally announced anything yet, but Reed was down with us for the last couple of seasons, and all indications looks like he's coming up and joining the Capitals, which, of course, the hire down here of a defensive coach would indicate that even more. But, you know, Reed was with the Bears for a couple seasons. He's a quieter guy, but sees the game very well, breaks down video exceptionally. Good teacher. I know I talked to Connor Hobbs and Colby Williams, and they were often in his office and going over video. And for a guy that played the American Hockey League level and has kind of played for Todd Reirden and worked with Todd Reirden, they've been very good friends and in close contact. So it's going to be a seamless transition for those two. They're good buddies, and I know that when that does become official, it's going to be a very good transition for him. But what I like about Cash, you know, he's a no-nonsense type of guy, but loves to have fun, and he just, the way that he kind of is able to digest the game and then regurgitate that to the young players is very valuable, because these guys are coming up and trying to learn and develop. And I think the young defensemen, there was a lot of them last year, maybe too many of them last year, so there's grumps and bruises on a team that wasn't very good down here in Hershey. But I think they were able to sit down with him and really make strides getting better week by week. And that's what he reiterated. Look, Lucas Johansson, I don't care what you did last week. How are we going to get you to a point where you're at a higher level this week and you're able to be a better contributor to our club and get one step closer to being an NHL-ready player? And that's really what he emphasized, is that development model. So now it's going to be a bit more of a transition to how do I take these guys that are up here at the highest level of hockey and get the best out of them night in and night out. He was certainly able to take guys, you know, I look at Johansson as a guy that really developed throughout the year, and Hobbs as a guy that really developed throughout the year. I think that's a good testament to the way that he worked with them.
Speaking of Johansson and Hobbs, the big three in terms of the Caps defensive prospects are Lucas Johansson, Jonas Siegenthaler, and Connor Hobbs, at least the way we look at it. Can you talk a little bit about those guys? Do you think all three are destined for the NHL? And who do you think is closest to making the NHL?
Out of those three, I would say that Siegenthaler would be my pick as the closest. I mean, I think as of right now, and this is a whole other topic that we can get into, Cavs have a need for a number seven defenseman. So there's going to be a battle in camp. I think that Tyler Lewington is not a prospect mentioned. That might be the guy that they have penciled in right now. Meat potatoes, type of Brooks Orpik type of game, you know, tough physical. But I think that's because they want these young guys to play and play every night and play big minutes and continue that development that they started last year. Siegenthaler, to me, is probably the closest, has an NHL size, 6'3", really great summer last year where he lost some weight, came into camp in better shape. His game's just so much more well-rounded than it was. He now has the year under his belt in North America. He made a decent amount of mistakes early, and you look at any of these guys plus-minus, and it's not going to be good on the team that the Bears was last year. So you kind of have to use that as a, it's a tough measuring stick to use right now. But 12 points, Siegenthaler doesn't necessarily have a ton of offense, but he does have a little bit in his game that I think will grow in his second full year here. The biggest thing with any of these three guys that I think, and I think Siegenthaler adapted the best, was the quickness of the professional game and having to make that decision just a split second faster than you have, whether it be in the Swiss A-League or whether it be in the WHL. You have to make that decision quick here because a guy's going to get on you. I think a lot of guys come in, and I'm not saying any of these guys did, but and think, well, I just tore up whatever league I was in. This is the AHL. This isn't the NHL. I'm going to be great. And then the speed comes at you, and you go, oh, this is good hockey. These guys, there's a lot of guys that could be in the NHL out of this league. And, you know, you take a look at a team like Vegas that turned in some AHL stars into NHL regulars, and you can see why. So Siegenthaler, for me, is the closest. I think his stick in his own zone, his size, his a little bit of nastiness in his game, just the ability to adapt to that speed and the size of the ice, which was different for him, has him on track to be the closest, in my opinion. I'd say Johansson is next, and what I can tell you about Lucas Johansson, elite offensive ability, did not get to show it maybe as much as he wanted last year, but he had some spurts in him that were, and I know fans are going to hear me say Christian Juice is full of offense and go, well, the guy never scored last year. He had that goal against the Penguins right away, and then he went silent on the score sheet, but don't sleep on Juice. He's got a ton of offense that he showed with 50-plus points in Hershey, and Johansson started to show kind of some of that elusiveness, escapability, where he'd walk around guys on the point, and that's what I really liked out of him. I think the biggest thing for him is he's just got to move the puck a little bit quicker. By the end of the year, he was getting better at that, but just in your own zone, moving that puck just a little bit too slow is going to result in a turnover or a pass being intercepted, and that's where some of the flaws in his game came out. And I think that now he's adding weight, and he needs to do that to get bigger and stronger. He's not getting out-muscled as much as he was by adding that weight, and the biggest thing for him is adding that into the transition side of his game. But 27 points in his rookie year on a not very good hockey club, I mean, that's pretty good numbers right there. He's got a ton of potential, and I think the Caps are still immensely high on him, even though I know a lot of guys from his draft have debuted. And lastly, Hobbs, I won't talk about him as much because he kind of had a tough year, a lot of injuries, only played 44 games, 16 points compared to the 85 he had in juniors. You know, it was a bigger transition for him than anybody, I would say, and the injuries didn't help. But talking to him, he was real honest about it. You know, he did not have the room to maneuver with the puck like he did, whether it be the power play in his own zone, and a lot of stuff that worked in juniors might not work here, and he figured that out pretty quick. But it was a development period that I think he'll be a better player coming to this camp than he was last season. Sometimes a spinorama, you're just going to get hit at the American hockey level, the NHL level. It's definitely not going to work.
Tyler Lewington. I'm a little intrigued.
I think so. If you don't want Tom Wilson using his fist, especially with as much money that they're going to have to pay him as much, Tyler Lewington will do it. And if you want a guy that's going to be nasty to play against in front of that, Tyler Lewington will do that too. And if you want a guy that's just really simple and is going to get the puck out of his own zone and get it up ice, you know, he's your type of guy. So it very well could change with the way these young guys look and how they play. But I think and that is all contingent on if Orpik doesn't get re-signed or if they don't bring someone else in. But I think he, as of right now, has the best shot to maybe be on the opening night roster as the extra defenseman. And again, that plays back into what good is it if Lucas Johansson is sitting? You know, he's not going to play over Orlov. He's not going to play over Kempney. He's not going to play over Carlson. You know, Juice, it earned his keep. And then they already got Bowie up there, too, that might be in and out, depending on how things go. So, you know, I think that the best opportunity is a guy like him that they see as a good prospect, but not someone that they see as a high-end prospect that needs to play every night power play penalty kill.
Yeah, I one more question for you, Zach. You mentioned it was a tough year for the Hershey Bears. Proud organization with a bunch of Calder trophies. How do you see them shaping up for next year? You said there's a lot of turnover. There's some big names that, you know, we've become accustomed to seeing that aren't going to be there. they have a shot at making a run again next year?
I think so. I think it's an exciting time down here in Hershey. Let me tell you why. It's a youth movement for the Bears. Not only new coaches, but there's going to be a lot of young Capitals prospects, a group that we really haven't seen in a couple of years, coming down here to Hershey. And there's some good names in that. I mean, Garrett Pilon, a third rounder a couple of years ago.
I covered his dad. That's how old I am.
Oh, well. There you go. I mean, I'm even starting to get to that where it's like, oh, I remember seeing this guy's dad play, and now here's his kid. How did I get old so quick? But, you know, he put up 80 points in Major Junior. Axel Janssen-Fialbi, you know, the hair, everyone sees that. But he can fly. I mean, they're already calling him Fabio, but the guy can fly. And once his hands and his head and everything catches up, I think he's going to be a really good player to watch. Both those guys expect to be in Hershey. Then you got Pino, maybe Gersich, and, you know, the back end that's already there, and a handful of other guys that they signed. And that's exciting to me that there's going to be a lot of guys that could be future Capitals in Hershey this year, and there could be really some diamonds in the rough. And it's going to be new faces, and there's going to be peaks and valleys with young kids, but I think they're going to let these kids play. And if we get through October, which is a tough month for the Bears, they have a 7-game road trip in October after 2 home games to start. We get through October and there's some difficulty, then maybe you have to look and go, all right. But I think the Bears are still going to bring in at least one really good veteran leader that's a winger or a center that can score, and then some sort of veteran defenseman, possibly, if the fit is right. They won't necessarily take away ice time from these young guys. They're going to get an opportunity to play. They feel like there's high-end kids here, but they're going to have some guys to help lead this ship and let these guys know what it takes to be a pro. I think it'll be a real good mix come October, but we have to wait and see how it plays out too. I mean, I did not think we'd have the season that we did last year, but this time last year, if you would have called me and done this same podcast, I would have told you, oh, well, from what I'm hearing, the Bears are expected to have Devontae Smith-Pelly as their top winger on their top line. He was expected to be in Hershey. Anthony Peluso is expected to be the 14th forward. You know, Peluso coming down, Smith-Pelly not being here through a wrench, and there's a veteran limit that you can have down here, and through a wrench in that plan, it just... The Caps obviously have to decide, and they make the roster decisions, what worked for them best, and then sometimes there's a trickle-down effect to us for good or for bad. You know, when they decided Sanford needed more seasoning, he was a huge help before he was traded in that deal that landed Shattenkirk, and that was a benefit, while the flip side in this one was, you know, we, instead of a guy that was probably a 25-30 goal scorer down here, we got Peluso as more of a gritty guy that had never scored more than 6 goals in his career. So some of those things still need to play out, but I don't think there's as much gray area this year. Travis Boyd's going to be in the NHL. I firmly believe that. Nick Dowd, I think, is going to be an NHLer. You know, they like him. They like him a lot. They signed him to a one-way deal. I don't know if he'd clear waivers or not either. You know, I know other teams certainly were after him as well. Other than that, you know, you got maybe one more forward spot. Is it going to be Gersich? Is it going to be Walker? Is Barber or O'Brien really going to surprise? That's really the one if, and then that defenseman side thing. We know Copley's going to be up. There's not a goaltending issue unless there's something crazy in camp. So there's a little bit more solid ground, but it's going to be a chance for the kids to play. I can tell you the Bears are going to be younger. They're going to be faster. And if you're a Capitals fan or a Capitals media member, like, you're going to want to get to Hershey because you're going to get to see a lot of guys that the big dogs have their eyes on. And it starts with Samsonov in goal. I mean, a first-rounder, widely considered the best goalie not in the NHL or not in professional hockey in North America at that time coming over. You know, I think watching him is going to be a lot of fun. And if your goaltending, we saw what Holtby did to win a championship, and we saw what the defense did, the prospects are aplenty down here. So that's got to be really encouraging for Capitals fans and Bears fans too. They're going to have a different look this year, but, you know, change is a good thing sometimes.
Well, I'm definitely going to find a Saturday night when the Capitals are off and we're at home, and I'm going to come up to Giant Center, because I'll tell you, I've been to a lot of minor league parks in different sports. Saturday night at Giant Center is off the hook, man. That is a fun crowd. It's packed. The game night entertainment, it's fun. It's a great place to take your kids. It's not, you know, NHL prices, so
yeah,
there are a lot of upsides to it. And it's not far. It's not far. I mean, I live out near Leesburg. I'm home in an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's a special place, and I can't thank my stars, lucky stars, enough for being here. But I think that's what the young guys that come here get to, and why it's such a successful affiliation. And look, I know this last year was not good, and Bears fans, I think you probably heard from, I know some wrote in about the frustration a little bit, sure, of the affiliation. But you look, to defend it real quick, what the Capitals did 2 years ago, they addressed what the Bears' needs were by getting Copley, bolstering their organization when the Bears needed a goaltender, and then they got Tom Gilbert, who never played a second for the Capitals, but was huge in tutoring the young kids down here where the Bears needed a veteran defenseman, allowed us to make a run. This past year, it didn't work out. Well, what Washington signed, the prospects that they brought in forward-wise just didn't pan out. Some of the kids weren't ready and wound up in the ECHL. This year is going to be a different look. They're higher-end prospects. They're guys that they're really high on that think they're going to be top six guys and can really contribute, or bottom six guys that have some jam to their game. So it's a different look, but I think the Capitals realize that it's a well-oiled machine, this affiliation. They have more of a say than they ever have, but they want the Bears to win down here because development, winning, you know, I talked to Stevenson, I talked to Verana. Everything that they said about, you know, look, this is the Stanley Cup playoffs, Zach, but it's a bigger deal, and it's a bigger level, and there's more pressure, but playing in some big games in Hershey at least let me realize how to take a breath and go, okay, I've been in this situation before at a lower level, be it, and I think that that's what makes this affiliation special, is if the Bears are winning, they're getting their players really good development, and they're able to go up to the next level and help contribute to Stanley Cup, because, you know, with no Stevenson, no Verana, no Juice, those guys particularly, you know, there's no cup for Washington. So they were a big part of it here, and that's why we're so proud of what the Capitals did from here as well, is because it really means a lot to us to see those guys go up and succeed. I mean, Chandler Stevenson was with us in October, and I remember having a conversation with him last year, even right after a game he had played where he just narrowly missed his first NHL goal, like the puck at the post something like that. Yeah, you probably recall that one. I don't remember where it was, but he's like, oh, I wanted that first one so bad. Then to go and see him go up and have the success he did, it just, that's the cool part about it. And I think Travis Boyd's the next guy that's going to do that too. And, you know, that's what it's all about. It's all about winning championships down here and then sending them to win championships up there.
Well, Zach, it's time to let you get back to enjoying your summer. I hope Hershey finds his way back to the playoffs next season. Tell the people where they can find you.
Yeah, you know what? Check us out, HersheyBears.com. A lot of good stuff going on this summer. Tickets available for the upcoming year. And, yeah, I'd encourage any Capitals fan, make a trip, make a weekend out of it. We got Hershey Park, the amusement park, Chocolate World. You can come here and see a hockey game and do all the fun touristy stuff as well and have a really good time. So it's something we encourage the Capitals fans to do. And I know I'll be in touch with you guys about, you know, we're going to try to get a Russian translator in here for one weekend and do some media stuff with Samsonov and the folks here. So. Yeah. We look forward to that and seeing this group. But HersheyBears.com for everything that you need to know, or find us on social media. And I'm on Twitter at Zach Fish, ZackFisch. Tweet me whatever Bears Caps questions you have. I'm very, very vocal on there. Always happy to help. But well, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Zach, at the start of last season, I don't know who was behind this, but someone sent like three boxes of chocolate to the media room.
Yes.
Please make that happen again.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a Troy Mann thing, but let me tell you, we'll make sure it continues. Yeah. We have the connections.
Awesome.
We got to get some chocolate, but like the official chocolate of the Capitals thing.
We'll keep it on the DL, man. We won't blow you up.
Yeah, media can be bought off with chocolate and food.
Absolutely.
I'm hearing.
Absolutely.
And on top of that, they still like Jolly Ranchers, Twizzlers. Those are all Hershey products too. I did notice at Capital One Arena there were still a ton of Jolly Ranchers around. So
there were.
We're still there, guys. So we'll hook you up.
Well, awesome, man. Thank you.
You can find Zach in Hershey, and you can also hear him frequently on the Old Barn Hockey Show, which is a fun podcast that I enjoy listening to. Help me keep up with everything going on in Hershey. Say hi to the guys for me, and enjoy your summer, Zach.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Big thanks to Zach for joining us and telling us everything that's going on about the Hershey Bears, and especially for giving us that hookup on the candy, because I'm all about those Reese's.
There are times in training camp, and by the way, peanut butter sucks, but
peanut butter is one of the joys of life.
Awful.
You shut your mouth.
Awful. One of the best parts of training camp is when you're starting to run down a little bit late in the afternoon. You've watched like 9 hours of practice. You've already interviewed like 45 players. And it's like 3:30, and you need that little bit of sugar rush to get you over the hump, to get you to the finish line before you got to jump back in your car. Opening that drawer there at Kettler Capital's Iceplex, and there's all sorts of candy waiting for you.
Oh, yeah. That's a good feeling.
I mean, it really is one of the advantages of covering a team that's not only sponsored by the other company, M&M's and Mars, but is also their minor league team is Hershey. Yeah. I think they kind of fight a little bit as to who can give us the most candy.
I think
it'd be nice to get that little bidding war going.
When I saw that I tweeted this out last year because we saw the M&M's on the ice, and then like the next day, there's this big box of Hershey candy in the press box. Tarik, I agree with his assessment on Boyd. I think there's no way. I think if you give him a one-way contract, he's going to be in the NHL.
Absolutely. It's, you know, a one-way contract at $800,000 per. That's not a, oops, if we messed up, we can just flush him. No, that is, he is our fourth-line center or fourth-line winger. He's going to be on this team.
There are so few times where I wish this was filmed because I think you get enough airtime. You get way too much of it as it is. But I wish
wait till next year.
People could have seen your face when he said Phoenix Copley stats from last season.
They were not good.
Not so good. But to be fair, he was dealing with a serious injury that he suffered in the playoffs the year before, a serious groin injury. And I think the consensus was that he had not yet fully recovered. Hopefully the Caps get a healthy Copley.
My other takeaway was Tyler Lewington.
Yeah. Hmm. People are so obsessed with this guy. Look, I have never seen him as an NHL player.
I've only seen him play a handful of games and, you know, a bunch of practices. But I'm a little intrigued. You know, he's got a skill set that makes him a bit of an outlier. You know, he's not your prototypical swift skating, puck moving. As we saw in the playoffs, you still need a Brooks Orpik type. Patrolling back there. It's not bad to have that guy
in
the mix.
You need a Brooks Orpik, but you don't need a John Erskine. Nobody needs a John Erskine.
Give him a chance. I'm willing to give him a chance. I'm willing to see what he can bring in training camp. And like I said, you can't have six of the same dude.
Right.
But you need one who can be a little different. So I'm curious to see what he can bring to the table.
Zach is right in that Hershey is definitely going to be a team to watch. They've got Samsonov, Siegenthaler, Johansson, Hobbs, you know, the guys that we all know about. Plus, they're going to add Ekonen, Gersich, Kammerer, Janssen Fjällby, Pinho, Pilon, Malmsteen. There's going to be a lot of new players there next year. They're going to be a team to watch. It's going to be fun to see how they all play there.
You just hope that they're able to get this thing back on the track down there in Hershey, because that's a town that is used to supporting their Bears, but they're also used to their Bears, you know, giving them some love back by making the playoffs and being very, very good.
They're used to winning.
They're used to winning, exactly.
Sure.
So I would hate to see them, you know, kind of scuffle again. I hope the kids are everything that they're hoping they will be, and we'll get them back in the playoffs, because the patience down there isn't the same as it is in other AHL towns.
If you want to have a question read and answered on the next Mailbag podcast, you can send it in to capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, and let's be honest, how could you not? You can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available, and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter to help spread the word about the show. Tarik, I think that was a good episode. People are interested in the prospects, and there's no better person to talk to than Zach.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, even though the Caps are the Stanley Cup champion, you know, it's never a bad time, especially this time of year, to kind of look down the road a few hundred yards. I mean, let's be honest. There's not many jobs available. I mean, you're not going to see a whole lot of these guys. We talked about a lot of players. There ain't many jobs available unless there's injuries. And in that case, you know, things have kind of gone sideways in Washington. If this team stays healthy the way they have in recent years, you know, there might be two jobs open. Could be some guys that go back and forth.
But there's always that surprise, Tarik.
There is always that surprise, but it's never a bad idea, particularly this time of year, like I said, to kind of, you know, take your eyes off the bumper that's right in front of you and look down a little bit and see what's ahead. So.
Absolutely. Well, that is it for us today and another action-packed episode of the Capital Space Hub podcast for Tarik Elbashir.
Terrible intro.
For Tarik Elbashir, this is JJ Regan.
Ridiculous.
Now let's get the puck out of here.